Hi, welcome to This Expat Life. My name is Amanda Maxime, and as a certified coach, I help high-achieving expats find more fulfillment and happiness in their global lives. Because while life abroad is often amazing, it is not only rainbows and butterflies, as all experienced expats know. In This Expat Life, I open up space for all facets of life abroad and what you can do to thrive in it. And to support you in your personal, professional, and geographic life transitions, I share tips, tell relatable stories, and connect with fellow expats. Whether you've just moved abroad or you are a seasoned expat, This Expat Life is your place to find real understanding and to grow from the inside out. Enjoy the show. Hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of This Expat Life. I hope you are all doing amazing. As you're listening to this new episode, maybe you are on your way to work, or you're getting ready in the morning, or you're just listening on a lazy Sunday afternoon. Whatever you're doing, welcome back to This Expat Life. As you can hear, or as you can maybe see this when you're watching this on YouTube, I am not 100% healthy. I caught a bug last week. I'm not really sure what it is. I wanted to say was, but I'm definitely still struggling with it. There has been some influenza going around here in Rio, and maybe I got something of that, although it's not a proper flu. It just feels like a really, really annoying cold, and one that has been bothering me for longer than usual. So already for a full week, I haven't been feeling great. Also not bad enough to lay in bed all day, but also not fit enough to do all the work that I wanted to do. You may recognize this in-between state. And whereas before I would maybe take off a day or work from home for a day or so when I was still working as a diplomat, I think it was a bit easier for me back then to say like, oh no, I'm sick. As an entrepreneur, it feels a little bit more difficult to do that. One, because I got some deadlines going on, and two, like I love my work, so it's really hard for me to say no to things. And three, obviously, also there is a financial implication, although in my case, it doesn't really matter that much if I don't work for a day or two. But yeah, if I would take a whole week off, that would have some financial implications. So all these things are in the back of my mind as I was battling this cold. And I decided to go back to my core work schedule, as I call it, and that is doing the bare minimum. So that means doing the coaching calls, given obviously that I feel fit enough for it, and some meetings that I can't postpone. So I had a podcast interview this week. I had a photo shoot this week. I had to apply a lot of makeup. So I went back to that. In all the other hours, I decided to take some rest. So I'm actually in the process of finalizing a new course for you guys to feel more grounded. And I still have a few things I want to do, but I decided, you know what? Not this week. This week, I'm just going to take more rest. So anyway, long introduction to why I sound like this. I'm already feeling much better. So the rest has been paying off, and taking rest doesn't come natural to me, as you may already read between the lines. So I'm always really happy when nowadays I'm able to take it more than I used to. So anyway, today I wanted to talk about something which is actually a little bit related to this topic that I just talked about in the introduction. But I wanted to talk about something that has been on my mind for at least a couple of weeks now, maybe even longer. And that is how to stay grounded while you live abroad and you are single, as is my case at the moment. I've been talking a lot with people about living abroad and carrying everything yourself, or splitting, you know, the weight on your shoulders with your partner. A few episodes ago, I had a long talk with Delphine Desmet about this, as you may recall, which was a beautiful open conversation. And I also spoke about it with a couple of other people, friends and people I spoke with for the podcast and coaches, about how different it is when you live abroad and you are single or you are in a relationship. Now, this is not the first time that I'm single and living abroad. Let me rewind. When obviously I was traveling for a year and a half when I was like 20, that was most of it was single. I lived in Argentina for 6 months. I was also single. And when I moved to London for my master's degree, and I also had two corporate jobs later on there, I was also pretty much single. Like, I didn't move there with a relationship, and I didn't really have a long relationship in either of these times abroad. Now, I do categorize these three different times as something else than I'm doing right now, because I was much younger. So I was a traveler, I was a student, I was just starting my corporate career. And back then, like in your 20s, it is just much easier to find new people, to go along with the flow of life, and there's just less to consider, and life is just easier, more fun. Now, I know that's not the case for everyone, and I was definitely also struggling with some of my own inner demons and challenges and everything else. But looking back now, in hindsight, I'm like, okay, yeah, those times in my 20s, living abroad was pretty easy. And I don't want to say that it's difficult now, but it's definitely more challenging. And with now, I mean being in your 30s and moving abroad when everyone already has like their career, their groups of friends, no one is going out to college anymore and meeting new people all the time, unless you're in Latin America. But in most of the countries, like when you enter your 30s, people are more settled. So if you join that country as a newcomer, it is a bit more difficult to find your way in and to settle. But also in my 30s, I lived abroad. I was a diplomat for the Dutch government in Brasilia. I lived there for 3 years. And I was actually going to Brasilia while I was still in a relationship. So for the first 2 years of my time in Brasilia, I had a long distance relationship with someone in the Netherlands. So I was in a relationship, but obviously I was also alone a lot of the times. So I think we saw each other once every 2 months or so. And this is something that I'll be talking about, like, practically, I was still alone, but mentally, I had someone to share things with, right? Emotionally as well. And right now, I'm living abroad. I'm single. But I feel it's even more different than last time because I'm now also an entrepreneur. So whereas in all the previous times abroad, I had colleagues, I had managers, I had like an organization I was embedded in. Right now, it's just me. I'm a solopreneur. And so sometimes it feels like I'm juggling so many balls, like I feel like I'm carrying so much. I'm carrying myself, I'm trying to build up a life here in Rio, I'm trying to maintain my old life back home. I'm also carrying my business, I'm carrying my coaches because I hold a lot of space for them. I carry my long-term dreams that I'm really focused on. And I do this all by myself. And when you are an employee, you have, I don't know, people around you where you can just unload some of like frustrations or find some relief or lightness, or you know how it is when you work together with other people. Right now, I don't have this. So also in my career aspect, I feel like I'm very alone. Now, I don't want to come across as being dramatic about it because I don't really feel alone. But sometimes I do feel like, oh, wow, that is a lot to carry. And I always have to carry myself through it all. So as I'm moving abroad, as I'm coming across challenges in my business or wanting to celebrate a lot of things as well, it is always me. I have to pick up myself when things aren't going great. And sometimes I wish I had a partner or I was in a relationship again, if I'm honest. It would be nice to have someone next to me to take care of me practically, for example, when I'm really busy. But also mentally, I make all the big decisions and small decisions by myself. It is just me in this whole process. And sometimes that can be tiring. And then it would be nice to have someone next to you who can help you in that decision-making process, so that at least you feel somewhat supported, even though the responsibility still lies with you. Like someone next to you who can help you unload some of the weight that you're carrying, to feel like, hey, we're doing this together. Whatever is coming our way, like we're in it together and we can help each other. That is something that I only very sometimes miss. It's not regular at all. But I've been thinking about this in the last couple of weeks because there was a lot that I was juggling. And this is when I felt, oh yeah, it would be nice to have someone again. And I was thinking about the last time I was in a relationship, I was feeling happy and grounded consistently. Even when my mom died, I had a really rough summer. I shared about this a couple of episodes ago. And obviously, I was very sad and I was grieving, but I felt grounded that whole summer. Like I felt steady within. And I remember thinking while I was in that relationship, like, ooh, I'm so happy and grounded. What if this relationship is going to end? Will I then not also feel this way? Because previously in my life, I definitely had periods that I didn't feel like this. I was more unhappy, slightly towards a mild depression perhaps, or just not feeling really steady or really caught up in my head with stress and worries. And so while I was in that relationship, I remember thinking that I was actually afraid to lose it because I thought it was the relationship that made me feel this happy and grounded. But what I'm realizing now, and that makes me really happy, this is becoming very meta, is that even though the relationship ended and I'm sort of single again now for a full year, I still feel happy and grounded. So I'm really happy to see that this was not because I had a relationship. It was all within me all that time. It was me who made me feel this way. So yes, even though I sometimes now crave like someone next to me to just unload this burden, to share some weight, overall, I feel really steady, really grounded while I live abroad and I am single and I don't have this person to share this with me. And that got me thinking, like, what do I actually do to feel this way, to stay so grounded? And I wanted to share that with you today because I know I'm not the only one. I coach amazing, ambitious, hardworking men and women, both, more women at the moment, but I also coach men who have an amazing career. They move abroad, they show a lot of courage in their life, they're go-getters, and they're also single, some of them. And sometimes they just don't feel grounded. They get stuck in their own thinking loops. They worry about the future, the uncertain future, because they don't know really what they want to do with it. Or they feel like they've boarded this high-speed train and they're not really in the driver's seat anymore and they have no idea where this train is going, which is also making them not feel grounded. They overthink a lot of things, decisions that they need to make, the direction that they want to go to. And so this all together makes them feel like, whoa, there's a lot going on and my life is exciting and amazing and also demanding and I'm doing a good job, but I don't really feel grounded in it. And actually, sometimes they are so overwhelmed with the big decisions that they think they need to make or want to make that they can't even make small decisions altogether. So they're already so consumed by these big things in the future that all their headspace and all the energy is spent on that, that even the smallest decision right now about like, where am I going to spend my holidays is already like too much. And it puts them in this like freeze error mode. They just paralyze. And I've been in that situation myself many times in the past. So as I see that happening, that all these amazing go-getters are not always really grounded in their expat life, and as I experienced it myself as well, I really wanted to share what I do to stay grounded and happy while I live abroad and I am single. And it's not only because I don't want you to be in this ungrounded state, you know, this state of like overwhelm and analysis paralysis and freeze, or just being so busy that you have, you know, you're just living in your head and you're just doing all the time. I don't want to only share to avoid that situation. I also want to share what I do because I know what being grounded in your expat life can do for you. Because when you're truly grounded in your expat life, you just feel so much more secure, confident, and calm on a day-to-day basis. And that helps you in making decisions, big or small. You know this, right? Like, there's no point in making a huge career decision when you're consumed with stress from your current job. Like, you can't really think straight when you are just living in your head and stuck in a certain thinking loop, and you don't have the space to really feel what it is you need to do or want to do. And compare that with when you're going on holiday, and it will take a couple of days, but on day 4 or 5 or so, you are in nature, or maybe you're enjoying a lovely city trip, and all of a sudden you feel like, oh, I'm so relaxed. I'm seeing my life so much clearer right now because there's distance. I can connect so much more to what my heart wants, what I deeply desire. And I just see so much clearer the path that I need to take or the direction that I want to go to. I love that day 4 or 5 on holiday when I can reach that state. And actually, being grounded in my life on a day-to-day basis has helped me to get into that stage much quicker. And if you're listening and you recognize yourself in that, wow, busy, overwhelm kind of thing that I just mentioned, I really want to help you to get into that day 4 holiday state as well. But what do I actually mean with grounding? Because it's such a vague word. And I'm sure that when you hear the word grounding, you think of like, oh, that's meditation, right? That's not really how I see it. So to me, being grounded means feeling steady within, like a sense of like, I got this, feeling calm, feeling confident, to not let yourself be carried away by stress or by worries or, I don't know, by day-to-day stuff, but really feeling calm and steady within, like feeling solid. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you see that I put my hand on my heart because this is really where I feel this feeling. Like if I'm grounded, I actually also feel it in my belly, if I'm honest, but my heart and my belly, this is where I feel this inner solidity, this inner steadiness. And that is what being grounded is to me. And to me, it's also about being able to be in the here and now. When you live abroad and you have a demanding job, I think it's easier compared to some people back home to let yourself be carried away. Because your mind is naturally split into two. Like a part of you is always going to be there back home. You know, one part is here, right here. You're building this life or living this life. But one other part of you is always thinking about what you left behind or thinking about maybe when it's time to return. Or maybe you're worried about something, worried about your family, or you're worried about your future. Is your future even going to be in your home country again? I definitely experienced this myself this week as well. So physically, I wasn't in the best state. And that's always for me when my mind is also going a tiny bit more the negative direction, although I'm super aware of it. But I found myself worrying about a few things of the future. So I have this idea that I maybe want to spend 2 months in Latin America this fall. But I have some financial, I wouldn't call them worries, but like some financial factors to take into account. And I do have some actual worries about one of my cats. So this week I found myself almost stuck in my own thinking loop, like, oh, I want to go back to the Netherlands for a couple of months, but I don't want to spend the rest of the year there. But then what about the money? And then, oh, what about Bobby, my cat? And so I got stuck in this thinking loop and just worrying about a lot of things until a friend told me, these things are in the future and you'll think about them as you get there. So last week for me, while I was thinking about all these things and worrying about the future, I wasn't as grounded as I usually am. So this is also where you can see the difference between really being grounded as I feel right now and when you're just stuck in your head worrying about the future. That to me is not being fully grounded. Now, being grounded is not a stagnant thing or something you reach once and then you're there forever. Like it's a constant practice in my eyes. And while I believe I'm really good at it right now, I also have my moments that I'm just like, oops, I lost my groundedness right here. So today I wanted to share 7 things that I do to stay grounded while I live abroad and I don't have this other person next to me. And before I share them with you, I want to start with one like baseline, I guess. And that is that I realize I'm really reliant on myself. As I said, I don't have a partner to make me feel better. So if I have a shit day or I'm stuck in overwhelm, or I was, you know, caught up in these worries as I did last week, I need to fix it myself. And when this week I was working and I finally had my last call and I was really, really tired after that because I gave it all, I realized, oh no, I still need to do groceries. I still need to cook and I don't want to order in because I really want to eat some veggies, which you can't really find here that much. And so I had to carry myself again, literally almost, and go to the supermarket to buy all the stuff that I needed. While I was still worrying about my dear cat, Bobby. And then, yeah, I can go like, oh, I wish someone was here. And I definitely thought that for a moment. But I also know it doesn't really help me. So for me, it really starts with, okay, to ground myself, you know, this is my job. I can't just offload it to someone else, which sometimes happens in a relationship, which is also not always healthy, by the way. It can just be so easy to bitch about something to someone else because then it's off your chest, but you actually give a lot of negative energy to someone else. So that's, if you are in a relationship, that's something that you want to avoid, I think. But going back to what I was saying, like I know to ground myself and to feel better, I'm reliant on me. And there's absolutely no connotation to this. Like, I don't see this in a positive or in a negative way. I just see this as a fact. Okay, it's up to me. And that means that I also take great care of what is going on inside of me, because I know I'm reliant on myself. So I'm super aware of my thoughts and my emotions and my physical sensations, because these are all indicators to me how I feel, or they help me to decide what I should do, or they help me to take rest when needed, like this week. So I'm super aware of what is going on because it helps me to ground myself. And that, I think, is really important. Another baseline, if you want to ground yourself, like, become aware of everything that you think, feel, and experience. Okay, so let me start with the seven things. And the last one is actually one that a lot of people tend to avoid or not naturally do, at least my high-achieving expats who are listening, most of them. So keep listening till the end because you don't want to miss this one. Okay, the first one is that I reframe my thoughts. So as I said, I'm super aware of what is going on inside of me. Although obviously not all the time. Sometimes I also realize things, you know, an hour later, a day later, a week later. But usually I'm pretty conscious of what I'm thinking in a moment. So when I catch myself thinking thoughts that are not really helpful, I rephrase them. So to use the example of Bobby, my cat, like, I was just worrying, like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. And to give you some background information, he's spraying a lot in the house and it comes from stress. And I know that when I move back, it's going to relieve that stress a little bit, but it's not going to cure everything. So I'm really worried about what I can still do because we already tried a lot of things. And the last option possible is that he finds a new home, the cat therapist told me. And so, yeah, this breaks my heart. And so I'm really worried about that. So I was thinking, like, oh, I don't know what to do with him. What if he needs to move? Like, I cannot live without him, etc., etc. And then when I caught myself thinking that, and my friend also caught me, I rephrased those thoughts to, right now he's in good hands. We are doing what we can. And I'll deal with the situation when I get back home. And I'll take the decision whether I want to be abroad again for a couple of months when that time is there. There's no need for me to worry about it already. And you might think, like, oh, duh, Amanda, like, of course you're going to reframe those thoughts because they're not helpful. But I think you'd actually be surprised with how many negative things you think on a daily basis. I just heard today someone saying that 99.9% of our thoughts go automatic, like we're not even aware of them. And I know that we are wired to think negative things because we adopted certain unhelpful beliefs about ourselves or about others or about the world that are often rooted in a sort of in negative thinking, that we're not good enough or that we're not lovable. And these create negative thoughts. And so you really want to be hyper aware of what you're thinking. So just another example to show you, like, how quick those thoughts enter our mind and that you really want to be conscious of them so you can reframe them into something that is more positive, more serving you, so that you can feel grounded in your expat life. All right, number two, and this is one that you've heard me say more often, I think, and that is that I make space for my emotions. And this one is big, and it's also a difficult one for most high achievers who live in their head. And I used to be that person. And I always thought that I was feeling my feelings because I knew how to cry. But I would cry for 50 minutes, call a friend, and then I would move on. And I realized, as I did my coaching training and a lot more, I realized I'm not actually feeling my feelings. I was just, like, quickly touching them and then going around it again. So in the perfect storm that I found myself into when I moved back home from Brazil the first time, there was no other way for me than to just sit with all my emotions. And I really learned to make space for my emotions. And I learned it the hard way. But in, you know, now being on the other side, I see what it has brought me, being able to make space for my emotions. And now it is almost 100% natural for me. I wouldn't say a full 100%. Sometimes I still have to remind myself of it, but it just goes so much more easily for me. So sometimes I feel something nagging and I can't really define what it is, or I just feel a bit like my energy is a bit low and I don't know, I can't really get into action or movement, or my thoughts are a bit more negative. I really pause and I feel like, okay, what is going on here? And often it's just like, I don't know, some grief that wants to come out, or some anger sometimes, you know, like someone crossed my boundaries, or I wasn't happy with what someone did. And it's so natural to put it away, to not want to feel it, because it's just easier in the short term. Like, why do we want to feel bad? But I really make space for my emotions, because emotions just want to be felt. So if you can go through them and really acknowledge them and feel them, they will leave. They will be released. And this will leave you much more clean in a way, and also feeling much more grounded. Because you can imagine that if you don't make space for your emotions and you distract yourself with work or scrolling on Instagram or whatever, there is this nagging feeling, or like a little needle, you know, in your skin all the time, or just something knocking on your door. And you know what I'm talking about, because we've all experienced this. It's going to take away your focus and your energy. Like, it's just there all the time, creeping up on you. And having that creepy feeling in the background is not going to make you feel grounded in your expat life. Because you deep down know that you, I don't know, need to work out an issue with your partner, or have a difficult conversation with your family, or you know that you're not at the right place in your job. And that's going to eat you. And so that is not going to make you feel grounded. So number two is key, and that is really make space for your emotions. And if you don't know how to do that, or you want to do it in a more structured way, call me, because I always make space for your emotions in the coaching sessions that I have. Okay, number three is that I involve my body. When we're not feeling grounded, we are often in our head, like worrying or thinking or just overwhelmed, or we're overtaken or influenced by emotions. And especially when we are in our heads worrying or just keep going over the same thing and again, we're often either thinking about the future or the past, and we're not in the here and now. We're overthinking what we said to that one person, or what could we have done differently, or we're worried about the future, or just overthinking scenarios that could happen with certain decisions. Either way, you're not in the present. You're stuck in the past or in the future. So the head is often there, but the nice thing is that your body is always in the here and now. So if you want to feel more grounded right away, do something with your body. Now, I personally always like to check in with myself to really feel what I need. And sometimes it is just rest. Like this week, I was ill, but I was also a bit stressed. Like, it wasn't just physical stuff going on. It was also some mental stress. And so when my body was like, Amanda, you're getting sick, that's when I checked in and I really felt, yeah, I need some rest. So the wise thing for me to do right now is to honor my body and to give it that rest that it deserves. I can't just be on the go, go, go all the time. But other times it's a run that I really need, because I'm really restless and there's this energy that I need to release. And so that's when I go for a run. But also when this rarely happens now, but this lethargic energy that I have, this really like a dark cloud above me, I also know that I need to go for a run, even when I don't feel like it in that dark cloud. Because I know from previous experiences that this will help me to feel more, I don't know, present, to feel more connected to my body, to feel more alive. And this is something that helps me to feel more grounded, because this dark cloud isn't then always present. Now, if running isn't your thing, I'm sure you have your own favorite sports. And if you don't, you need to find one or just go out for a walk. Another thing that I often like to do is breath work. So I'm actually a trained breath work facilitator. I don't do anything with it anymore, but I did a lot of breath work. And very occasionally, I do a full session on myself, like an hour long. But most of the time, it's just like, oh, when I'm stressed and I check in with my body, I realize it's because my jaws are clenched. And so that's when I know, okay, I need to do some relaxation. So I do certain breathwork exercises to help me feel more relaxed. So you high-achieving expat, you are more than just your head. Start involving your body. Start moving it, or resting if you need that. Number four is that I go out in nature, because nature calms. Nature is soothing. I experienced this 2 weeks ago. I went with my friend Simone to Teresópolis, which is like an hour and a half drive away from Rio. Yes, I drove in the Rio traffic. I'm really proud of myself. And it's this beautiful green hilly area. And we had a beautiful house with no other houses in sight. We just had trees around us and it was gorgeous. And I'm a forest girl. And so on our final day, it was raining a lot. And I was just sitting underneath the roof on the terrace with a blanket on top of me because it was really cold. It was like 15 degrees. It was raining for hours. And we saw hummingbirds really close, and we saw toucans. And if you know me for longer, you know that I love toucans. But just being there, I journaled a bit, I read a bit, I did a bit of work. But most of the time, I was just looking, just looking at all these 50 shades of green and just feeling so calm and peaceful. I did not want to leave. And so the contrast with going back to Rio, busy, noisy, was so big afterwards. And this also made me feel like, oh yeah, I'm not sure if Rio is the right place for me in the long term. I do need some more nature. So if you're not feeling grounded, go find some nature. This is so helpful. The fifth thing that I do to consistently feel grounded, so I do this anytime, not just when I'm not grounded, is that I journal. This is my favorite thing. When I'm not feeling super grounded, I journal a lot first about what's on my mind. I just get it all out on paper. But also when I'm feeling okay already and I just want more inspiration, I also journal about whatever. And then I also do some journaling about my future self. And this is my favorite. And in fact, I actually have some journal prompts that I shared with my coaches in the bonus group call that I hosted a couple of weeks ago, and everyone loved that group call because it was all about goal setting and embodying your future self. And this is such a key thing for me that has really helped me to reach my goals in a really nice way and much quicker. And one of the things that I often do is that I journal about my future self, who she is and what I'm doing right there. And this is such a nice exercise because when the future is uncertain, journaling about your future self gives you a sense of groundedness, even in this uncertainty. And then number six, and that is taking aligned action. And I emphasize the word aligned because this one's a bit tricky and it depends on the cause of you not being grounded. Because if you're always on the go, nonstop busy, as I also can be sometimes, then taking action is not really the step to make you feel more grounded in your busy life because you already know action so well. So that's why I emphasize aligned action, because if you're this busy go-getter and you're taking action nonstop and you don't allow yourself time to relax and to detach a little, then your next aligned action could actually be to take rest, to take a few days off. And if the idea of you taking 2 days off in the next 2 weeks sounds impossible for you or is really a foreign concept, then you know that this is the aligned action that you need to take. And I'm also saying this to myself, by the way. This is the one thing that I struggle with the most, taking rest. Because I feel like I need to do more. I want to do more. It's not a need. Like I just love my work so much. I spoke about that in a previous episode about what might really be behind your hard work. So if you recognize yourself in that, I suggest you listen to that episode. But for other people who maybe feel they are the go-getters in certain areas of their lives, but one area is making them go freeze or analysis paralysis, and that's the area that they don't feel grounded in, then I actually suggest taking some action. Because often we are paralyzed by fear, like fear stops us from going forward. And because we don't do anything, we stay in this status quo where we just experience the same loop over and over again and nothing really changes. And we keep being paralyzed by fear. We keep being haunted by doubts. We have no idea what the future is going to bring for us. And there's more and more build-up frustration. So if you find yourself in that situation, then go take some action, even if you aren't sure of the action. Because action brings clarity. And in this case, action also brings some sense of control. And feeling more in control of your life is going to help you feel more grounded as well. So be honest with yourself and really ask yourself, what is truly an aligned action for me right now? And just do it. And you'll quickly find out if that was the right action or not. But at least you have started moving again. You're taking back control of your life and you're not being paralyzed anymore, stuck in overwhelm. All right. And then the last one that I really want to mention here is what I do to stay grounded is that I connect with people. And this one is not natural to me, or it wasn't at least. I was very much this super self-reliant person. I didn't want to be a burden to anyone else. I didn't want to bother anyone else. I actually hadn't learned properly to ask for help because from a very young age, I had to do a lot of things on my own. I was independent as a kid already. And so this was my natural state of being. I didn't really ask for help. And what I learned in that perfect storm when my dad died and there was just too much going on, I really needed help. I couldn't do it on my own. And in my most vulnerable state, I remember calling one of my best friends, crying in the middle of the night, crying so much that I couldn't breathe anymore. I was like hyperventilating. I couldn't even speak. And she just listened to me and she just says, keep breathing, keep breathing. That's all that she did. But it was like the best help that I needed at that time. And that phone call, I will never forget this phone call. This phone call signaled to me a change in that I now am able to ask for help and that I'm now able to seek support when I need it and to be okay with it, to not feel guilty about it or to think that, oh, I need to return this favor soon. No, I can just ask for help. I can take up that space. And so when I'm not feeling grounded or I feel I'm heading towards ungroundedness, what I now do is that I really seek that support. So I have found an amazing group of friends around me, like amazing friends, fellow expats, fellow entrepreneurs, mostly women, some of them single, some of them not, some a bit older, some a bit younger, but they are all just so amazing. And we find support with each other. And that has really helped me to stay grounded because what I did before, whenever I didn't feel good, I would retreat. I would isolate. It's a natural tendency to just be like, no, I'm just going to like shut down and be with myself. And I know I'm not the only one. I know so many of you have this too, because I see it all the time with my coaches. In fact, I offer unlimited WhatsApp support with my one-on-one coaching. And I always have to tell my coaches to please use this WhatsApp support channel that is there for them. And I see that the coaches who do it on a consistent basis also have the biggest transformation. But from the start, almost everyone is like, yeah, but I don't want to bother you. I don't want to be a burden. And I tell them, no, I have my boundaries. I will respond when it's good for me. You don't need to worry about that. You just reach out for support. And this is so great because it works in two ways. One, you know, on the content of their question, they get help. Two, they also learn that it's okay to ask for help, just like I had to learn it myself. And to have this sense of, hey, I'm not alone, I can ask for help, people are listening to me, people come with tips, is amazing. So right now, as I'm living abroad and something is going on and I'm not feeling great, I reach out to my friends and I reach out to my coaches. I also have coaches. I have one life coach and one, well, more, but like one business program that I'm a part of, and they come with coaches. So for both cases, like I reach out to them, and sometimes I still have to overcome a hurdle because it's a more formal way of asking for help. But every time that I've done it, I just felt so relieved afterwards because they helped me see a different perspective that I wasn't able to see on my own. They came with practical tips and they just gave me this emotional relief. Like I didn't have to simmer with it myself. Like I could just release it a little bit by sharing it. And if you can ask for help, it feels like you're in this nice supportive web you're in, which also helps you to feel more grounded, more secure in your changing circumstances or your demanding life. When there's a lot going on around you, it's so easy to lose yourself. But if you feel like you're holding hands with someone else, you just feel more secure in it. So I really wish that for you as well. If you are listening and you're like, oh yeah, that's me, I'm super self-reliant and it doesn't come easy for me to ask for help, please go do it because it will make you feel more grounded instantly. All right, those were the seven things. So just to summarize, reframe your thoughts, make space for your emotions, involve your body, go out in nature, journal, take aligned action, and connect, find some support. Those are the seven things I do to feel grounded while I'm living abroad and I'm single. And I would totally do them as well if I were in a relationship, by the way. Now, if you enjoyed this episode and you recognize yourself in this busy, overwhelmed, paralyzed, not fully grounded persona that I just described, or you found my tips really useful, then I think that my new course, Touch Base, is going to be something for you. In Touch Base, I'll teach you about the Grounding Compass, a framework that I created, which is going to help you to include four different directions that you need to feel grounded in your life. Because as high-achieving expats, we have a tendency to really go into one direction only, but you actually need the three others to really get this groundedness that I was just talking about. And in my new course, I teach you how to do that in a way that is supportive of your demanding life and not in a way that's going to make it even busier. And after the course, you'll know exactly what to focus on and how to include that in your daily routine so that you feel more grounded on a daily basis. And the benefits of that, well, you already know, but you will create the time and space that you're yearning for right now. And you will find the calmness, clarity, and confidence for your decisions that you need to make or that you want to make. Because you'll learn how to get out of that busy head of yours and get into that holiday state of mind where you'll just see a lot clearer. And this is honestly what I wish to you, because I just see it so often in my coaching that you can really adopt this holiday state of mind, this grounded feeling that gives you that space and that clarity for you going forward so that you can make the right decisions and take the appropriate aligned action. And the end result, that you live a life that you feel really happy and fulfilled in wherever you go, because the groundedness is within. It's not dependent on your outer circumstances. This is why I keep talking about it, because you can't control your outer circumstances, but you can always control what is inside of you. You cannot control the events that are going to happen to you, but you can always control how you respond to it. And if you are more grounded, you're going to respond in a way that is going to help you feel better. So if you want to feel that way as well and embody that groundedness, join Touch Base. I really designed this course in a way that it's easy for you to consume. So you can watch the short videos or you can listen to it as a podcast as well on your way to work or as you go for a walk in nature to ground yourself. I don't want to add more busyness to your life. I know what it's like. So I created something that is easy for you to consume. Now, if you want to join, check out the show notes because that's where I've put the link for you to join. And if you have any questions, just let me know via DM on Instagram or LinkedIn. I'm there every day. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.